Welcome back to the World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris, joined by John Morrison. John Morrison is a podcast host and the host of Culture Cypher Radio on WXPN in Philadelphia, where we make World Cafe. And every month he joins me for the Culture Corner, and he connects the dots for us across all different genres of music. Hi, John.
Hey, Raina.
It's time to talk about the Beastie Boys and their album that's turning 30 this month, Check Your Head. Now, we know who the Beastie Boys are. Why is Check Your Head significant?
You know, I adore the Beastie Boys and have since I was a little kid. Check Your Head is one of my favorite records from them, and it's one of the ones that I find the most interesting because it's weird, but in the best ways, you know, and we'll get into it. But Check Your Head to me is really a transitional record for them, and you can hear a lot of shades of what kind of band they would become in like the very close future.
So when you say transitional, where were they as a band when they made this album? What was going on?
Yeah, the Beastie Boys kind of had a wild journey up to this point when they released their first record, License to Ill, in 1986. It was a massive record. You had songs like No Sleep Till Brooklyn, Paul Revere, Fight for Your Right, songs that are still party starter songs, classic songs, and it was a big record. The follow-up album, Paul's Boutique, which is beloved as a masterpiece now, but it was a flop when it came out in 1989. You know, some critics liked it, but commercially, it did not do well at all. So in between Paul's Boutique and Check Your Head, the Beastie Boys were really kind of in this weird limbo space.
And so they kind of went for like a new sound for Check Your Head. How was it different than what they'd done before?
Yeah, Mike D even said it himself. He said that nobody at the record company wanted to have anything to do with us after Paul's Boutique had flopped. So, you know, there was this pressure on them as a group, but they really reassessed their aesthetic and their sound during this time. You know, the Beastie Boys, they talk about this a lot in interviews and in the book that they put out fairly recently. They talk about absorbing all of these different influences from records and sampling culture. So they were listening to 60s and 70s funk records, organ trio, jazz records by artists like Jimmy Smith, Groove Holmes, instrumental funk records by groups like The Meters. So, you know, they absorbed all of this sound from these records that they were digging for and collecting, but they also went back to their roots as a punk band and started playing their own versions of hardcore punk, but also this instrumental groove music. So you hear these influences meeting together, and they're really, in a way, learning how to play this music and recording it and making an album out of that learning process and this limbo that they were experiencing as a band.
So how does that all apply? Like, what do we hear in the song, So What You Want?
So What You Want is... You know, I say this, I feel like I say this a lot on this show, but it's one of my favorite songs. And, you know, it was a huge hit record at the time. But if you, you know, really think about what was happening musically around it, So What You Want doesn't sound like really anything else, you know, and it was kind of a stylistic 180 for the Beastie Boys. You know, the main bass sample, like, that holds the whole groove together, it's a sample from an old record. The drums have like this big Zeppelin-esque sound with like this huge, like, splashy reverb. There's a distorted organ happening, tipping, you know, once again, like, tipping a hat to those 60s organ records that they were into. And then their voices as MCs, like, they're delivering the words from behind this like wall of distortion. If you think about it, like, So What You Want and then Everything Else, there was nothing that sounded like this being played on the radio or MTV at the time.
We're gonna play it right now. It's So What You Want, Beastie Boys on World Cafe.
So what you want?
What You Want, Beastie Boys on World Cafe. That song is from their album Check Your Head, which turns 30 years old this month. I'm talking to World Cafe correspondent John Morrison about the record. He is here for the Culture Corner. You mentioned that the Beastie Boys went back to their roots as a band playing live instruments for Check Your Head. What led them back there?
Yeah, from what I've gathered from hearing them talk about this time in their lives, you know, like we said, they were inspired by all of this music from the 60s and 70s, jazz and funk and all of this stuff. They were playing that music. But for me, what really facilitated this experimentation that they were involved in that really, you know, helped them bring this record out, there was a sense of freedom in their past failure, right? So Paul's Boutique had flopped. You know, there were zero expectations for them. And at this time, they also built their own recording space, G-Sun Studios. So they had a freedom to experiment without, you know, an A&R knocking on the door like, yo, when's the next hit record coming out? Or, you know, without looking at the clock during a paid, you know, professional studio session. It was their studio. No one could tell them no. No one could tell them that running a turntable through a distortion pedal or creating like a 10-foot long tube out of cardboard so that they could stick a mic in it and play drums through it or play a guitar through a DJ mixer. All of this stuff that they were doing to create these sounds, they could do it because no one expected anything from them and they had their own studio space to be able to do it.
So how can you hear that freedom on the next song we're going to hear, Stand Together?
Stand Together might be the most experimental song, the strangest song on Check Your Head. It's loud, it's chaotic. They use this heavy drum break as the rhythm. Their vocals are just layered behind, you know, so much distortion. There's guitar on top of it with this weird like modulation effect on the guitar that kind of makes it sound like a synthesizer. It's just bugged out like psychedelic music.
Here is Stand Together. It's Beastie Boys on World Cafe. World Cafe. You just heard Beastie Boys with Stand Together from their album Check Your Head. That album, 30 years old this month. I'm talking to World Cafe correspondent John Morrison about Check Your Head today on the Culture Corner. So where does Check Your Head fit into the Beastie Boys' evolution and their development as a band?
Yeah, Check Your Head is important stylistically, but also philosophically. For the Beastie Boys, early on in their career, the Beastie Boys played up this sort of like juvenile aesthetic. And by all accounts from folks who were around them, they were raging misogynists. And it came out in the music. You know what I mean? They thought it was
like the song Girls, for instance. People
1,000%.
Point to.
The song Girls, the beginning of B-Boy Booyah Bass on Paul's Boutique. They thought it was funny. Like, oh, you know, we're this kind of, you know, we're these kind of guys. But the writer, Kate Fustich, wrote a fantastic piece a few years ago called The Beastie Boys Feminist Evolution. And the piece talks about this in great detail and actually credits the women that were around them at the time of the making of Check Your Head and all of this stuff as catalysts for this evolution, you know, of them becoming generally better people, right?
Right.
And I would argue that another catalyst or another aspect in the band's change in perspective came from MCA and his embrace of Buddhism. Last year, we talked about the Beastie Boys and the Tibetan Freedom Concert. And I definitely think that Buddhism played a role, you know, rest in peace, MCA. Like, it heard him talk about this before he passed. Buddhism and the influence of that spiritual tradition made him a better person and probably made the Beastie Boys a better band, top to bottom.
That kind of brings us to the last song on the album, Namaste. Tell us about how it ties into that.
Namaste, you could say, is like a stoner classic in a way. It definitely has like that dreamy jam band feel. But I think that they were trying to get at something. I don't think that it was a frivolous experiment. I think that they were trying to use music and these sounds that they were playing with and experimenting with as a means of getting at something more substantial, like spiritually substantial, you know. And there's nothing in the Beastie Boys catalog that sounds like this up to this point. It's this dreamy, dubbed out jam, and it has like this spoken word piece within it that talks all about life and death and impermanence. And it's happening in the middle of this storm of sound, you know, and it really gives us a peek at some of the musical and spiritual ideas that the band would explore later.
Here's Namaste. It's Beastie Boys. You are listening to World Cafe.
Yeah. A butterfly floats in the breeze of a sunlit day. As I feel this reality gently fade away. Riding on a thought, to see where it's from. Gliding through a memory of a time yet to come. Smoke paints the air, swirling images through my mind. Like a whirlpool spin beginning to unwind. And I stand at the edge, cautiously awaiting.
On World Cafe, that was Namaste, Beastie Boys. It's from their album, Check Your Head. I've been talking with World Cafe correspondent John Morrison today about the 30th anniversary of Check Your Head. And now I feel like I want to go back and listen to the whole thing. John, yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Raina. This was fun.
John Morrison is a podcast host and the host of Culture Cipher Radio on WXPN in Philadelphia, where we make World Cafe. He joins me every month for the Culture Corner. I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.